overseer of different ministry in the church will come and just describe the ministry. And so as I was praying, the message for today is about the church, building the church together. We're not doing that yet, but first the sermon, we'll do the sermon, but building the church together. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27, okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27, it says this, "Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it," okay? "Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it." Church is not perfect, but I have tremendous faith in the church. Why? The Bible says the church is the body of Christ. It's very special. There's so many institutions around the world, but the church, is the body of Christ. Church is not a building. It's not about one individual. It's not about the program and activity. It's a community. The church is a community of believers where God dwells. That's why it's so special. And God moves. God dwells and moves in the church. And Matthew chapter 18, verse 20 says this, "For where two or three gather in my name, there am I with them." You know, the most important relationship as a church is our relationship with Christ. It's our relationship with God. And the church priority, okay, it's not the many meetings that we have and the activities and the program. Our first priority is the presence of God, is the presence of God in the church. And this is the promise of God, right? When we get together as a church, even if there's only two or three people, right? Even if there's two or three people, Christ says, "I will be there with you." Okay? "I will be there with you." And this is why I believe in the church. God is with us. Say to your neighbor, "God is with us." And because God is with us, we will know God. Right? We will know God. Our identity will be in Christ. You will grow in his likeness, in his image. As a church, because God is with us, we will grow in God's grace, his kindness, and his love. Because God is with us, our life will be transformed. Okay? There will be transformation in our life. But when you look at Scripture, our relationship with God affects our relationship with one another. Right? As you grow in relationship with God, you grow in relationship with one another. This is, some people say it's just about me and God, me and God, right? Well, if it's you and God, guess what? You love others more. Okay? You love others more. That's the greatest commandment, okay? Matthew 22, verse 36 to 40. Matthew 22, verse 36 to 40. "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind." Okay, that's the greatest commandment, to love the Lord your God. But Jesus says, if you do that, okay, this is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. It comes together here. The greatest commandment comes together. The second is like it. "Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." Okay? Loving God is related with loving those who are around you. Okay? Loving those who are around you is related to loving God. It goes hand in hand. You can't separate it. You can't separate it. It goes hand in hand. And that's the greatest commandment. See, when a church loves one another, when a church loves God, God moves in the church. Okay? God moves in the church. When God moves in the church, okay, The Bible talks about fruit of the Holy Spirit is produced. Right? And what's the fruit of the Holy Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, all the fruit that's necessary, that's so important in loving each other. Okay? And developing a deep relationship. We are able to have deeper, as you love God, the fruit of the Holy Spirit is produced, so you're able to love more. You know, there's more joy in our relationship. There's deeper relationship. But when God is not moving in the church, you know, bad fruits are produced in the church. Not love, but self-righteousness. Not joy, but legalism. Church politics. Church is guilt-driven, performance-driven, shame-driven. But as we all know, okay, yeah, when we think of, I believe in the church, but, you know, I'm not naive. Church is imperfect. Okay? It's imperfect. You know, there, okay, in this broken world, the church is imperfect. There's no such thing as a perfect church. There are those, you know, and you know, you probably know people who are disillusioned by church, who got hurt by church. There are those who burned out in the church. And in my over 40 years of serving in the church as a member, as a youth pastor, as a college pastor, and even as a lead pastor, in 40 years serving the church, I'm going to be honest, I got hurt in the church. I got rejected. Okay, people gossiped about me. There was betrayal. And in the church, I burned out a few times. I really burned out. I hit a wall. Right? At the same time, as you look at me, I'm not perfect. Right? I made mistakes in the church. I made bad decisions. I have hurt people in the church. I have disappointed people. I failed many times. And, you know, as a member of the church and as a pastor. But no matter, you know, what I go through, I refuse to be disillusioned about the church. Right? I refuse to be disillusioned about the church. I continue to believe in the church. See, when I look back at the over 40 years in the church, God has changed me through the church. Right? More than anywhere else. God has changed me through the church more than anywhere else. It wasn't easy, okay? Because again, I'm not perfect. The church is not perfect. You're not perfect, right? It wasn't easy, but I was thinking about this. It was in the church God made me deal with my father issue, okay? Because I was in the church. You know, how did God do that? Well, you know, I was mentored by different people as I grew up, you know, as I was in the church, as I was serving the church. And guess what? It will stir up my father issue. It will bring it to the surface. And because it would be stirred up, I had to deal with it. I couldn't run away from it. I couldn't suppress it. I couldn't just blame everybody else. I had to deal with it, with the Lord. So it was in the church, I was thinking about it, that I learned inner healing. It wasn't outside of the church, but it was in the church that I learned inner healing. It was in the church I walked out the healing from my father issue. It was in the church, but God brought me to another level, you know, walking out the healing with my father issue, but it was also in the church I learned how to minister to others with father issues. Right? With father issues. It was in the church that God taught me about leadership. When I first start to serve, you know, I'm just being honest, there's a lot of insecurity, a lot of fear, a lot of people pleasing, you know. But because of the church, I thank God for the church, I slowly grew. Right? I slowly matured. I slowly overcame little by little by little. You know, when I first became a Christian, you know, I went to church. Even in the Korean church. I was in the Korean church when I first became a Christian. I had to deal with, you know, simple thing like lack of commitment. Because I was in the church, I had to work through that. The lack of trust that I had in people. Because I was in the church, I had to work through that. Lack of discipline. I really lacked discipline. Okay? But because I was in the church, I had to work through that. The lack of maturity. I had to work through that. What am I trying? See, church is imperfect. You and I are imperfect. And in the church, our imperfection will come out. Okay? It will come out. And it is in our relationship with one another, you know, again, our rejection, the brokenness, the lies, the character issues will come out. You know, it will all come out. The lies will come out. Our father issues, mother issue, authority issues will come to the surface. Our childhood brokenness will be stirred. And there will be time where a church member will fail you. Okay? I'm just speaking the truth to you. Okay? There will be time when a church member will fail you. At the same time, there will be time when you will fail a church member. It goes both ways. Okay? It goes both ways. But my challenge to Catalyst, okay, don't be afraid. Don't be scared. Don't run away. Don't isolate yourself. Especially, don't get bitter. Don't get angry. Don't blame. Don't get judgmental and critical. But this is my challenge to Catalyst. Let's respond in faith. Right? Let's believe. Why? Because church is different than any other institution. Right? It's a place that God moves. And because it's a place that God moves, right, we got to believe in the church. You know, there's shaking that's happening because this is what I want you to see. See, I was thinking about this. It's not a lot of, yes, yeah, it does, but a lot of time we bring in our issues into the church. Did you know that? A lot of times. And in the church, you get stirred up. But when this happened, the shaking is happening. This is what I want us to believe, because God wants to heal me. Cannot hurt me. God wants to transform me. God wants to set me free. God wants to give me a purpose. God wants to grow me. He wants to... You see, there's things in my heart and in your heart, because we're in the church, God highlights. Okay? Highlights. It's not just about, oh, can I be in the worship team? Okay? No, throughout the week, God highlights things. Okay? And that's going on in your private life. In your private life. Why? So you can pray about it. So that you can, you know, be authentic and real, so that you could humble yourself, so that you could ask for help from a fellow church member, from your life group members, so that you could develop an accountability. So, in another word, why are those things happening? So that we could overcome the things that break our heart, so that we could overcome the things that breaks relationship. So that we could overcome the things that break our future. Right? But that takes a lot of faith to believe. But that's what I'm calling you to believe about the church. You know, we can criticize, point out all the things that's wrong with the church. You know, instead, Catalyst, let's focus on this. Let's focus on building a great church together. Can I hear an amen? Huh? Let's focus on building this great church. And it has to be together. I can't do it alone. You see, the church is about every member connected together, and every member is important in the body of Jesus Christ. Every member. I think I shared this with you. I didn't realize how important my toenails was until I lost it. it was my toenails very, very important. Right? Every member is important. And to build a great church, this involves all of us. All of us. If you want to build a church that represents Sam Lee, okay, right? No, that's not a church. That's not a church. Right? Yes, church is not perfect. You and I are not perfect. And the imperfection will come out in the church. But I'm asking us, right, to step above, right, in faith. Step out in faith. We proclaim, no, yeah, our church is not perfect. I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. But God is in control of Catalyst. God is sovereign. God has a purpose. God is moving in this church. The Bible says, we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. If God is for us, who can be against us? In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Again, it keeps coming back to because God is in the church, in him, because of him, because of Christ. And because of Christ, nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Right? We could look at, again, you know, God has a purpose for our relationship here as a church. Right? The devil comes to divide, wants to bring out more hurt, more rejection, more conflict. But God brought us together to strengthen one another. God brought us together to overcome. Okay? Can you meditate on that? Why God brought us to overcome. We need one another in difficult times. You know, we pray and ask God, help us in our difficulty. Some of the things that you're going through are really difficult day to day. Right? And we pray, God, help us in our difficulty. And we think, you know, the way God's going to answer is to change the circumstances. But I believe God answers that prayer by giving us one another. Okay? One another. Again, Elijah, he burnt out. He was if you look at somebody who's spiritually powerful, okay, it was Elijah burned out. And he had relationship with God, very close relationship. Okay? But remember what I said? If you have a relationship with God, relationship with others, it goes hand in hand. Elijah was lopsided. He says, I have had enough. Take my life. I am no better than my ancestor. You know, he wanted to die. He said, I wish I was never born. Why? One of the reasons he says is because I am all alone. All alone. Right? The reason, very difficult challenge, okay? But I believe we could do this. The reason it is difficult to build a great church, right? Because it's easier to complain about the church. It's easier to complain about why people can't be trusted. It's easier to live in fear of rejection of relationships. It's easier to not take a chance on relationships. It's easier to give up on relationship the moment there's conflict. That's much easier. But to build a great church, we need to do the hard work of building a great church together. See, church is developed, not found. You don't stumble on a loving church. See, if you want a loving church, You have to be part of it. You have to be connected. You have to invest in it. Right? You have to be committed to it. Like healthy marriage. Right? Singles, you know, if you ask the singles, you know, how do you have a healthy marriage? You know what some of them might say? The secret to healthy marriage is finding the right person. Right? When you're single. That's what I thought. It's about finding the right person. And that's what you pray. God, send the right person to me to marry. You know, finding the right person. But no, secret to marriage, it's not about finding the right person, but becoming the right person. There's a difference. It's about becoming the right. What does it mean by become? You get married, and you have to work at it. Right? You have to work at it. Right? It doesn't just happen. You can't just check out. You have to connect. You have to communicate. You have to change. Right? You have to change. You have to invest. You have to pray with one another, with your spouse. You have to pray for your spouse. You have to forgive. You have to show grace. You have to love. You have to respect one another. Right? Well, to build a great church, it's similar to marriage. You have to take risk to love. You have to pray for one another. You have to work out the misunderstanding. You have to forgive when somebody wrongs you. We have to build up one another. You have to believe in one another. We have to share. We have to open up. We have to share our life together. See, to build a great church, the church is built when each one of us is committed to one another. Not take advantage of one another, but spend our time building up one another. We have to take the risk of partnering together, serve each other, invest in one another. Each one of us needs to take responsibility for the church. As we love God, as we have to love one another. And my challenge, Catalyst, this is worth it. Let's build a great church together. Amen? Amen. Okay. All right, that concludes the sermon. Then the list of the ministry overview, and after we go through this, we will go into ministry, okay? I'm supposed to share about the life group, and people who, there's this team that's overseeing the life group. That's me, Tay, and Chihe. That's overseeing the life group. And they just gave me like a couple, 2 minutes to do this. But Sunday worship is when we all come together to celebrate the goodness of God. This is why we're here on a Sunday. But it's not that conducive to build a deep relationship. Because, you know, it's hard to get to know one another if we just for Sunday service. That's why we have the life group. Life group is a place to build relationship, to build a community, a place to show love in action, a place to take your mask off, be the real you, the authentic you, and to become vulnerable. And that's where deep relationship happens. Just by sitting there with a nice shirt and pants and a Bible app, it's not it. Right? We need to be vulnerable to one another. And that happens in the life group. And I just want to share, because about Asbury Revival, I think a lot of people heard about it, Asbury Revival, the revival that's happening in this college campus. And I was really interested in it, so I went on to YouTube and looked at the live, worship. And then there was one YouTube video that said, the sermon that started the revival. I go, okay, I listened to it. It was like 25 minutes long. I go, that's the sermon that started the revival? I go, wow, and And, you know, I thought it was a good sermon, but I didn't think it was like extraordinary sermon, right? But then somebody told me after that sermon, there was two college students came up and they humbled themselves and they were honest about their weakness and they became vulnerable and they shared. Two college students came up and was vulnerable in front of people. That broke down all the walls. And after that, the Holy Spirit came in such a powerful way. That's what triggered it. All right? And to me, the reason I share that is, that's our life group. And what happens in our life group will trigger a great revival in our church. Amen?